Even before we have our time of hymn singing together and our fellowship meal, I would like to make a few brief comments out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 26. Before we look at an experience of the prophet, once again, let us pray together. Our blessed God, again, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you for this particular book titled Jeremiah. And Lord God, we thank you for this man that you did call to minister in your name. For we know that he was a man of flesh and blood, such as we are. He was a sinner redeemed by your grace, a man full of many weaknesses, but yet a man able to accomplish much because of your grace, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. And so as we look at him, as we look at others who did great things in our eyes, may we be ever mindful that that same grace is available to us. The same Holy Spirit is at work in us. And so let us, as we study the lives of others, be encouraged to call upon you for grace and for strength to be faithful to our callings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What did you expect coming here? What did you expect coming here? We go to certain places, and in so doing, we expect certain things to be done, certain things to be accomplished. For example, if I go to a Mexican restaurant, I expect that they will specialize in, if not partially, yet totally, in serving Mexican dishes. On the other hand, if I go to an Italian restaurant, they hand me a menu, I expect to see on that menu Italian entrees, the names of which I cannot pronounce. Moreover, if I go to Harkins Theater, I expect to watch some kind of a movie. If I come to this particular church, I expect to experience a very simple form of worship. Praise, prayer, the preaching of the word. If I lived back in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, and I went to Jerusalem and I went to the temple, I would expect to see and to smell animal sacrifices, to see members of the priesthood running about doing their duties, and most likely I would expect to hear a prophet preaching. Somewhere in the court area, perhaps at the steps, perhaps at the gates. Moreover, if I went during the days of Jeremiah, I would expect a very comforting message from those prophets. They would be speaking peace, peace, even though there seemed to be storm clouds of war all around Judah. Yet I found great comfort in them telling me that we would have peace, that God would protect his city, that God would protect his temple. He would protect his people. But furthermore, if I went to that temple during the days of Jeremiah on a particular day, yes, some things would be common, the animal sacrifices, the odor, the priesthood, and there would be a prophet preaching there on that particular day. But I would find that prophet very upsetting, because he would not be saying peace, but rather he would be calling us to repentance. I find that prophet, I find that message to be very upsetting. I came, but I did not expect this. And so indeed, there are times when the Word of God is properly preached, it can be very upsetting. And so we find that tonight as we enter into this 26th chapter, we'll just barely get started as we consider another assignment that Jeremiah receives. And then later on in our studies, the reaction of the people and what Jeremiah has to go through. But for tonight, we start with the assignment, looking at the first six verses. And so from chapter 26, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Amen. And so briefly looking back over these verses, we'll start with the commission. Jeremiah, as you can easily see, is given a commission. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word of the Lord came, saying. And you notice, no particular person is addressed. But we assume, and I think we can assume rightfully, that it was addressed to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is to take this word. We find that out when we read on in the chapter, in the preceding context. It has reference to Jeremiah. And so when does this take place? Well, you notice in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. And so God-fearing Josiah is dead. Jehoahaz lasted about 3 months. And so here we have Jehoiakim. And he is a very wicked man. We learn a little bit about his character from various places, if you want to follow along. We go back to 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 36. We pick it up this way. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Then you have the name of his mother and so on. Then verse 37, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done, an evil man. Then 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read more about this man. Extremely wicked, chapter 36. And we pick it up at verses 5 through 8. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, the abominations which he did, and what was found against him, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. And maybe you recall, some time back, when we were in chapter 22 of Jeremiah, that we picked up some words concerning this particular king. Verse 13, woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages, and gives him nothing for his work. Who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. This is said about, you see, this king Jehoiakim. And then you could go on if you like and you look at chapter 36 and you remember that Jeremiah dictated the words of God to Baruch the scribe. And Jehoiakim got a hold of this, and what does he do? He cuts it with a knife and he throws it in the fire. He despises, he hates the word of God. And the comment is made in that chapter, even hearing the word of God, no one was moved. Didn't disturb them at all to hear this word from God. And so here, you see, is a very wicked man. Here is a wicked part of the authority of the ruling class during the days of Jeremiah. So it's at the beginning of his reign that the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. I want you to go stand in the court of the Lord's house and I want you to speak. And so can we see something here? That in the worst of times, under the most horrible regime, God's word goes forth. A wicked ruler cannot stop the word of God from going forth. A wicked ruler cannot stop Christ from building his church. And haven't we heard about this? When Russia was in its strongest time, they tried to stop the church. They put the pastors in prison, but yet the word of God went on. The church went on. In this day and age, over in a place like Iran, do we not get reports of the Lord building his church? There are saints there. The word of God goes forth. Over in the land of China, the word of God goes forth. And so you see, here is a wicked ruler, one who hates the word of God, who is opposed to the people of God, the true people, but yet the word of God goes forth. Go and preach this word. And then it seems to me you notice something else. You stand in the Lord's house and you speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. And so I think we might suppose that it was some kind of a holy day. I think it was three times a year. All the males would go to Jerusalem, go to the temple. And so it could be one of those times. And you notice it's all these cities. And so you have what we will call the common folk. They're going up to the temple. And so it's a very crowded time. And Jeremiah is getting some new ears, we might say. Now you notice the Lord didn't say, go speak to those false prophets. Go speak to those corrupt priests. Go speak to those corrupt princes. He doesn't do that. Oh, they've heard and they've been warned. But it seems to me that sometimes when you have that false teacher that's the head of a new cult, the head of a false religion, you're wasting your time speaking to him. You get nowhere with the leader, the chief teacher. No, you go try to speak perhaps to the converts, those that he's recently recruited. And maybe you've noticed a time or two, if you spend any time or waste your time with the Jehovah Witnesses, usually you have a young convert or two and then you have an old salty dog. And the salty dog's training them. And you'll get nowhere with him. Nowhere whatsoever. But maybe you can say a few words to that young convert of him to jar him, to make him to think. And if you're able to do that very quickly, that old dog grabs him. Well, we're finished here. This is just an old Trinitarian. And on they go. And so it seems to me that Jeremiah is to address the people, people who were not used to hearing the words of the false prophets. You see, those who resided in Jerusalem, they were always going to the temple and they were continually hearing the words of the false prophet. But here are some people who maybe have not heard that much. They're not under that much influence. As you very well know, Jeremiah didn't gain a lot of converts. And when you work and you work and you don't see any fruit, you can get discouraged. And so it seems to me that perhaps the Lord gives him a little encouragement. You notice verse 3. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. You know, perhaps And that's a good way to translate that word, perhaps. It could happen. It's a word used back with Abraham and Sarah. She was unable to get pregnant, so she says, well, you go into my handmaid, perhaps, maybe, she can bear children. Or when Abraham sent his faithful servant to get a wife for Isaac, the servant says, well, perhaps she won't want to come with me. Should I take your son to that land? Oh, no! But the point is, perhaps. Maybe she won't want to leave her father, her mother, her homeland. Perhaps. And so here, some kind of word of perhaps. Perhaps. And so maybe this is something we need to remember as we try to be faithful in our callings, as we try to give forth a faithful witness. Who knows? Who knows in the people that we speak to, in that crowd perhaps of people that we have contact with it, God might give to one of hearing ears. God might call one, maybe his elect amongst them. You see, and sometimes in very difficult circumstances, God has these people. You remember Paul on Mars Hill. He preaches the word of God and these philosophers mock and laugh. Oh, we'll hear you some other time. But when he leaves, we're told about two or three or four people. They believed Paul. And they followed Paul. So you never know. Our responsibility is to be faithful, you see. And then you pick up something else here that the Lord says to Jeremiah. He says that you go and you speak this word. All the words that I command you to speak, do them. Do not diminish a word. I'm going to tell you what to speak, Jeremiah. Oh, it's going to be a hostile situation. These people are going to react, Jeremiah. But you don't tone it down. And you remember how God warns his people. You don't add to, you don't take away from my word. For example, chapter 12, verse 32 of Deuteronomy. It comes out this way, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. And it's very interesting, this word translated here, do not diminish a word. Later on in Jeremiah 48:37, it's used with reference to a man trimming his beard. Don't trim it down, Jeremiah. Don't cut off any of the ragged, jagged corners that may offend people. What I command you, you speak, Jeremiah. And of course here, Jeremiah perhaps reflected back. You remember the call that we considered in the first chapter? God calls this prophet. He says in verse 6 or verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so he could reflect back, why am I doing this? Well, the Lord has called me. The Lord has sent me here. Certainly I'm not on a fool's errand, you see. And God had prepared Jeremiah for this. For you see, this is not the first time that he has preached in the temple. You go back to chapter 7, and there in the gates of the temple he is to preach. There wasn't the violent reaction that we'll read about here later on, but God prepared him. God always prepares us for things. Whatever you face next week, the week after, God has prepared you. He has equipped you. You trust Him. Here's His commission. We all have a commission, don't we? To be faithful to the Lord. To be faithful to our callings. And when people ask us questions, we must speak the truth. And sometimes in answering that question, oh, it is something that is cutting. It is something that is shocking. It is something that people do not want to hear. But we must be faithful to the Word of God. When they ask us those questions, we must speak the truth. Don't trim it down. And so here's Jeremiah. Here's this commission. Well, briefly, in the second place, you notice the content. We might summarize the content. What would the content of the message be? Repent. Repent. That's what it's all about. Verse 4, "And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you do not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded." So it's a call to repentance. My law that I've set before you, that written law they had, and here are the prophets, heed the words of my servants. Not that they were bringing something new. What did the servants do? What did the prophets do? They took the law of God and they explained it and they applied it to the situation. And that's what we do today. If you're a teacher, you explain and you apply. And so that's what he does to these people. And they don't like it. They don't like it at all, as we'll come to see. And you notice the patience of God. My servants, the prophet, I sent them. I have been consistently sending them to you, calling you to repentance, calling you to escape the calamity that's coming. But you did not heed. And these people, I suggest to you, were greatly offended. To whom does he address these words? Yes, all the people who come up, you see, to worship there at the temple. And if it was one of those special holidays, they're saying to themselves, look, I made great sacrifice to be here. If it was a time when the males would come, they say, look, I left my family, my wife, my kids, the farm. And you know, it's no easy trip to get up here to Jerusalem. It is going up. I mean, it was costly to me. Time, money, to get the sacrifices, some place to stay. What are you talking about calling me to repentance? And you see, these people thought they were doing all they needed to do by going through the rituals, by going to the temple, by heeding the sacrifice. That's all they needed to do. Externals. And they were very meticulous in the externals. It's like the days of our Lord and Savior, the scribes, the Pharisees. What was it? The externals. The outward part of religion. But they had no saving, living relationship with the true and the living God. And so these people were greatly offended at the content, calling them to repent. But then you notice the consequences. The consequences in verse 6. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Shiloh, that was the place that God appointed for worship early on. Shiloh was the place where the ark was cast. Oh, it was special to the people. But yet there was this corruption that entered in. There was this apostasy that took place. You remember Eli and his sons? And the ark of God, they'd become superstitious about it. They took the ark out to the army. We've got the ark. Since we've got the ark, we're bound to win now, you see. It was a kind of fetish. And even the Philistines got a little shaky. Uh-oh. Israel was routed, and the ark was taken by the Philistines, and Shiloh was destroyed. They couldn't believe it. And now here is Jeremiah. He says that Jerusalem, he says that this temple is going to be just like Shiloh. They wouldn't accept that. This temple is so special. This temple was given to us by the Lord. It came by way of Solomon and all that labor, all the beauty. No, no, no. And so they were so tied to a particular building and a particular location. That was what was important. That was what was first and foremost in their lives. Not a living relationship with God. And are there not those nowadays who can become very superstitious about a particular building? And would I be wrong in saying that so-called church buildings or temples are, wow, they're neat to look at, aren't they? And those windows and the crosses, maybe some figures in it. Don't you just really feel religious? And then the garb that some of the religious leaders, doesn't that make you just feel so religious? God is not interested in particular places. He's interested in that relationship with His people. And you remember what He said to King Saul? Do I take such a great delight in sacrifices as in obedience? The important thing is a right, living relationship with the true and the living God. And we have history. The people of God have met together in fields, in caves, in barns, in old rented buildings. We appreciate this building, but this building is not the church. And we say that, don't we, a lot? The church building is actually a building where the Church of Jesus Christ meets. It's a building where the Reformed Baptist Church meets. We're the church. People. And the important thing is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it should be an ever-growing relationship, a maturing relationship, a joyful relationship. Our trust is not in buildings. Our trust is not going through rituals. Our trust is in the true and the living God through Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Our Lord God, we are most thankful that we can worship You in spirit and truth wherever we are located physically. We do not depend upon a particular structure or a particular rite. And so we thank You for this. And we desire that our relationship with You will deepen, and what we have considered tonight, may we be stronger as we seek to live our lives for Your honor, not being afraid of the faces of men. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.